This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome in. One down. Still three to grow. A year-end recap today in the club at 6 o'clock. You basically, the entire year of 2020 recapped in about 9 minutes or so. And it's funny when you go back and look at a year-end recap, because this is our last show of the year, you kind of forget about things. You're like, oh yeah, that happened. Like anything that happened, I'm going to say like before June, all becomes irrelevant. You're like, what? It's kind of like the early part of the college football season. You're like, what happened in week two? It kind of becomes largely irrelevant because we moved on to bigger and better things, much like the Orange Bowl, which you can hear right here on The Fan on Thursday. And today was media day down at the Orange Bowl, and so we thought we'd go and visit friend of the program. And the owner, proprietor of the great I-5 Quarter. You can find his stuff at i5quarter.com. He does a great job covering everything in the Pacific Northwest. Tyson Alger, we welcome you back to the program. Thanks for taking a couple minutes for us, buddy.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
How was the, I'm assuming the weather down there slightly better than the 7 degrees that it was this morning up here?
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it was a little cold up there. I do admit when it got down to like 64 this evening as the sun was setting, I thought that maybe I shouldn't have changed into these shorts, but no, we're doing good down here. We're surviving.
Did you have to put on a light sweater? Is that what, like, maybe?
Maybe a cardigan.
Yeah,
but nothing too heavy.
I'm sure it's tough when you find out that you're traveling to Miami. We were talking about like bowl destinations and how largely like some people view bowl games now as irrelevant. But if you end up at a cool place or someone does like what the Pop-Tart Bowl does, you have to create like an environment where people want to go. And I would assume that one, being the college football playoff, and two, Miami is a great destination. But I'm hearing this game is not sold out and probably won't be sold out.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating one because like I've seen like a fair amount of like Oregon Twitter or X like that have made the trip down here, and like yeah, like this is a fun one to go to. It's a large profile game. It's two good teams. It's Miami when it's freezing cold back in Portland and or Eugene. But like even at media day today though, like it felt like a little, not off, but it just felt like a little subdued. Like there wasn't much in the way of like national media people there. Maybe it's just the fact that there's just so many games to go to now and you kind of have to gear up for like the whole run, in terms of all the games. But like, yeah, like it's like, I believe it when I like see the reports that it's not sold out, just because like it doesn't quite have like the kind of like the pizzazz to it that like the Rose Bowl does, which we're pretty used to going to at this point.
And by the way, I guess the Rose Bowl isn't sold out either. I mean, it's kind of becoming a thing across the board. They're saying that like just the demand for the games right now on site is pretty soft across all four of these games. And maybe that's lending some credence to the whole, I mean, Dan Lanning even said this game should be played in Lubbock. Do you think, are you hearing that there's more momentum maybe for these games being, the second round games being at home fields, or is the bowl machine just too powerful?
I mean, I think the bowl machine's still pretty powerful. I mean, like, it's even crazy just being around, like at this thing, like, there's so many people in orange suit coats that are just part of kind of like the Orange Bowl contingent around. And, it's still a large kind of entity. It's still kind of like part of the money machine of it. I think ultimately it will just come down to like whether or not they think the television ratings are somehow impacted by kind of the in stadium kind of vibe for these. But on the flip side, like Hard Rock Stadium is pretty cool. Like I haven't been to many college football venues that are like lined by an F1 track they have like these gondolas that kind of go through the parking lot that I imagine for the Formula One stuff. But, yeah, like it's a really cool venue. It's just, I think kind of some of the pageantry of bowl season doesn't maybe like hit as much in Miami as it does or used to.
Well, today was media day. Did you get a feel like, do we know, like, what are we expecting crowd wise? Is it a 50-50 split? I mean, obviously Texas a lot closer to Miami than us out here, but do we have, is it too hard to get a gauge for, I guess, maybe fan support in house?
Yeah, I didn't have like a good kind of opportunity to gauge fan support today. This was kind of a more media only sort of thing, but you know, I've seen a fair amount of Oregon people that have made the trip out here, but ultimately there are a lot of people from Texas, and Texas is a lot closer, so do the math.
What we saw today of what practice, so Evan Stewart out, everyone else in, like, not, I mean, it kind of sounds like this is as healthy as Oregon has been all year, with the exception of Evan Stewart, who's not going to play.
Yeah. Stewart's listed as out. He didn't practice though. Like at media day today, Lanning had kind of an obscure quote about how he's just changes his status on there to mess with us. So I don't know, but I wouldn't count on him definitely this week. We'll see depending on next week, but. Yeah, DeCorian Moore, Gary Bryant Jr., Jordan Davidson, they all looked like they were out there today. Granted, the amount of practice we see is legitimately 15 minutes of stretching. So, and anybody trying to make like large inferences out of bowl practices is probably stretching it a bit, but it was good to see those guys out there healthy and looking good on the injury report as well.
If you get a sense, or can you tell, or if they said anything about, I mean, obviously this is kind of Texas Tech's first venture into this, and Oregon having done it last year, although, you know, having the bye, has Lanning talked about, or do you get a sense that the approach has changed at all last year versus, you know, a team and a lot of players and coaches that have been there and done that?
Yeah. Like I just get the sense that they're really comfortable with all this. I mean, there was a lot of pressure that came with last season. You were undefeated. You won the Big Ten. You have this massive rematch against Ohio State. Like, that was a pressure cooker of a season last year. And like, I think up until that final game, like, they handled it pretty admirably. But, you know, this year, like, they've kind of had like the back and forth of, they didn't have to play in the conference championship game, but they did have to play earlier against JMU. And I think, you know, Lanning holds the cards close to the vest, but like he said, basically like they learned a lot from the way they went about practicing, preparing, keeping guys healthy during that time last year, and they say they've put it to better use this year. I mean, ultimately, we're going to find out on Thursday. But yeah, like I just like they're not in awe or shock of this venue or this moment at all.
We're talking to Tyson Alger, i5 Quarter. You can find his stuff i5quarter.com. Anything you took out of media today? Anything that anything fun? Anything serious that kind of, I don't know, poked your interest?
For like the last 5 minutes, Tosh Lupoi was just sitting at his podium by himself, and he looked like he didn't want to be like done yet. Like he kept kind of talking into his microphone and like color commentating like other people's interviews as they were going on. And while he was doing that, I went up to him and I asked him, like, hey, you've been so busy lately, and you've been talking about doing the Oregon job during the day and the Cal job at night. Like, what do you think about sleep science? Like, do you actually think it's important to get a good night's sleep? And he said, no, it's a placebo. He doesn't believe in that science. So, yeah, that was my biggest takeaway from media day today, is Tosh Lupoi does not believe in sleep.
So what we determined is that, because Dan Lanning once told us that being sick is a choice, being cold and wet is a choice, and now Tosh Lupoi saying that apparently being tired also a choice. I'm getting a kind of a common theme about the psychotic nature of successful college coaches.
Yeah, they're nuts, man. I got like 4 hours of sleep last night, and I'm not doing well. So,
is there anything at all? I mean, it is kind of weird. I know, like in the Ole Miss. The Ole Miss game, Ole Miss Georgia. There's six LSU coaches that are coaching Ole Miss, and like Lane Kiffin's going to the game. And last week, you know, JMU's entire staff was not JMU staff; it was UCLA staff. And it's one thing I haven't really heard mentioned, but it is interesting because both coordinators are head coaches, and there's like, what, seven other staff members and coaches that are leaving as well that are technically other teams' employees but are coaching in this game against Texas Tech.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? And like, I think maybe the only like kind of large separator in that is the fact that Dan's still the head coach, and he obviously has enough trust in these guys that if he thought that like it was going to be an issue having them around, like I don't think for a second Lanning would hesitate to show them the door. But you know, I think maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like they, the coaches hate the timing of the season. Like Dan's been a big kind of, at the forefront of like saying that the season needs to be done on January 1st. And there's too much other stuff that gets intertwined when you're stringing this thing out until mid January. But, I think it helps that Oregon is at least at a higher position in terms of, stature compared to Kentucky or Cal. And so like, you're not necessarily worried about losing like really good players, but yeah, it's kind of crazy to see like the amount of just like what kind of staff that are heading out to those two different schools.
It's just something to keep an eye on. Cause you know, if Oregon wins, then it's nothing, but if they stub their toe and they lose to Texas Tech, which is a real possibility, that's a good team over there. It's funny how that will become a narrative real, real fast.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe they needed to get some sleep.
Do you have a general feeling? What's just kind of your take as you get closer to game here? We're 48 hours away. Your general take on this matchup, which I think is the best matchup of the four games.
I think it's really good. Like it's just there's a lot of talent and depth on both sides of this matchup. Like it's going to be fun to see what Texas Tech's front seven can do. I think the only thing that that makes me like really like Oregon's chances in this one is obviously Tech's quarterback is going to be a little bit limited in terms of his mobility. And I just feel like that kind of losing a little bit of that dynamic ability is just going to play in Oregon's favor. I like the way that Oregon has been able to win like in like eight different ways this season, whether it's like blowout or close game or need to play, you know, slow football, fast football, like they've been in just about every type of game this year. So I just think that with Oregon's talent and their health returning, I like them a little bit better than Tech in this game.
It is weird because we don't – in the NFL, it's all about quarterback play, right? It's like, well, we trust quarterback play. And you look through college football, and we don't give that the same sort of credence. You know, when we take about two teams or talk about two teams that are good and both play good defense and good old lines and there's weapons and all this stuff, we don't really talk about the fact that one of these two quarterbacks is probably going to be playing the last game of his professional career and one will be a top five quarterback in next year's draft if he comes out.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I think, you know, that's what used to kind of be so fun about some of those old Oregon teams that, you know, you look at like the 2010 team or the 2014 team. Obviously, 14, you had Marcus, who was a Heisman winner, but it's not like Marcus has gone on to like light up the NFL. Like I like that, and at least in the old college football, you could kind of have, you know, these guys who weren't necessarily pro prospects to be that effective at that level. But
okay, we put your feet to the fire. Give me a prediction.
I'm going to say Oregon 38, Texas Tech 28.
Ooh, I like. So you're going high scoring affair. I don't think Texas Tech has given up more than 26 all year. I like. That's a bold prediction going 38.
Hey, it's 2026.
anything can happen.
Well, anything can happen, baby.
We appreciate Miami. We appreciate you taking some time. Enjoy Miami. I'm assuming you get one more night to kind of kick back and relax. New Year's Eve in Miami is pretty good, and then we gear up for the one that we all want to see, which is Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't hate the location here, and I don't think it will be a bad New Year's Eve. So appreciate you guys having me on.
And I'm sure there'll be a lot of content coming out on the I-5 corridor about this one.
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, check it out. And Tyson, we'll check in with you hopefully further down the road when they take care of Texas Tech and move on to, I'm assuming, Indiana, but possibly Alabama. But we appreciate you taking a couple minutes for us, and we wish you a happy new year and all the sunshine and happiness you can handle.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks, man.
All right. When we come back. Interesting there. I actually want to talk about the game when we come back, because I do think there's a couple things that we can point to about one side or the other. Because I do think this is the best matchup, but I do think there are a couple massive advantages that Oregon has in this game. And I want to touch upon the one that we kind of mentioned there, and that's simply a quarterback play. And why don't we talk about the college quarterback the way we do the NFL? That when primetime rolls on. 105.1 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.